Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Today's tale begins the night the internet went down at the Smith family.
Son?
The dad watched on powerless as his son aged before his eyes.
The game has been loading forever.
Save yourself from broadband nightmares. Get BT's Unbreakable Hybrid Broadband backed up by EE, the UK's best network. Search BT Hybrid Broadband. 88% UK availability. 4G connection takes up to 175 seconds. Best for mobile network performance. Verify at ee.co.uk/claims.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBeer here, and we are back again. It is time for another pop culture roundup, this time for the month of September in the year 2022. We have got a lot to cover, so we are... I was going to say, we're not going to dilly-dally, but I'm usually the one that takes us on these random trains, rides.
You need to put a mirror on your desk, so that way, whenever you say those things, you're looking directly at you. As well as us when you say it.
Ma'am, first of all, I always look at myself when we're on a Zoom chat. So I'm always looking at me. And two, I literally just called myself out on it.
You do, it doesn't stop you, though.
I mean, I need post-it notes that say, don't do this, bitch. But we've got pop culture to talk about. Brian is still away on a work trip without his... He said he was going to pack his microphone, and that bitch did not.
See?
She lied. She lied! But she'll be back soon enough to join us for a couple of really good microsodes that are going to be coming your way in the not-too-distant future for some big pieces of pop culture television that have been mysteriously missing from our roundups because we're waiting to do more in-depth deep dives into them. I'm talking She-Hulk. You know, that's what we're talking about right now. Although I cannot wait until She-Hulk is done and we talk She-Hulk because...
It's so good. It's so good.
We're halfway through the season and I love it. I absolutely fucking love it.
It's everything.
Just a little spoiler on how I feel about She-Hulk so far. But anyway, let us get right into the topics at hand. I'm going to throw it over to Eric to start us off. Eric, what is your topic that you will be discussing?
It's a film which just came out in theaters fresh for spooky movie time called Barbarian, which is a 2022 American horror film written and directed by Zach Cregger. It stars Georgina Campbell, Bill Skarsgård, and Justin Long. And the kind of quick one sentence line is a girl goes to check into an Airbnb and finds out it's been double booked by a gentleman she doesn't know. And stuff happens.
Okay, real quick. Real quick, because I don't have much else to add to this part of the conversation. But you know that you just used the setup of most of the Hallmark Christmas movies, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I said that when I first saw it. I was like, this feels like a high-budget horror version of a Hallmark Christmas movie. I remember I was sitting in a break room somewhere last year, like, it's just this woman showing up, like, to her hometown to, like, work something, at work somewhere, like, at her mom's, like, candy shop, and I'm like,
oh my God, it really is.
Yeah. And so
it's a Hallmark movie.
It's how I wish every Hallmark movie would go, pretty much.
That is hysterical. Because I don't really watch Hallmark movies, but I've watched other videos that have referenced them. Alex Myers will do the Princess Switch or the Princess, the one with Vanessa Hudgens that has done three films in the series. It's the Princess Swap or something like that, where Vanessa Hudgens is a baker in Chicago and then gets invited to a baking competition in England or wherever, and hilarity ensues. But some of those talk about the setups, and it's like, oh, Jane booked a cabin in the woods for a quiet week away, and little did she know that Tom booked it as well. It literally this description is just a horror version of a Hallmark movie, and I'm down for it.
Except I'm sure none of those Hallmark movies happen on the bad side of Detroit, which could possibly be most of the sides of Detroit. But
let's not insult the Detroit audience now.
I mean, my great aunt lives in Detroit, and I visited her a couple times just on family trips. That was our stop. And we'd get into her little convertible and she'd take it to this restaurant. And she's literally if anybody needs a weapon, it's in the back. I got brass knuckles up front. And I'm like, nah. And then she literally hits a homeless dude with a baseball bat that tries to get in the car. So I'm at the beginning of this movie where I'm looking at the neighborhood, I'm like, she don't have a baseball bat. She's fucking up already.
So I'm not sure how spoilery we want to get into this, but
I haven't seen it. You two have, so mm-hmm. We'll put a spoiler warning now. I mean, we've gotten so far away from doing spoiler warnings. Honestly, at this point, if you're listening to our show and you don't expect us to just spoil the shit out of everything, that's on you. But we'll put the spoiler warning in. If you have not seen Barbarian and you are going to, or you plan to, then just keep hitting that skip button for a while.
I mean, honestly, it's so definitely going into this movie, without knowing anything, definitely ups the suspense and ups the horror factor. But in all honesty, just talking about it the way we're about to, I can think of, I'm like, it's not really spoiling anything. Just know you're in for a roller coaster.
Yeah. I know in a lot of horror movies, you're always like, Jesus Christ, why the fuck did they do that to any of the characters who end up getting killed? And this one, you kind of understand why she makes all of her decisions that she makes.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they're the smart decisions to make. But because I'm sorry, but one medical convention in town is not going to book all of the hotel rooms in Detroit because she called all of one hotel trying to find another room. That being said, did you ever think that Bill Skarsgård was going to be the bad guy?
Abso-fucking-lutely. I was like, why would you cast him in this? And then I was like, oh, I feel like an asshole. I feel like a fucking asshole. Here we go. What is it? What movie was that? No. It's a Disney movie. Coco. Throughout 90% of the movie, I'm like, oh, well, it's obviously the raggedy homeless skeleton that's probably going to be the bad guy. Nope. It's Ernesto. I'm spoiling Coco for you guys. It's fucking Ernesto Del Cruz. That fucking asshole murdered people and still died and is still stealing shit. And I'm sitting here like, I know the bad guy in this movie is Alexander Skarsgård. Whoop! Just kidding. It's kind of Jason Long, which also I feel like should have been obvious because Jason Long either plays Justin Long? Okay. Yeah. Justin Long either plays an oafish college student or random new hire at a restaurant, or he plays
a Mac.
Yeah, or he plays like somebody who you're waiting to reveal themselves as an incel. You're like, I know there's something gross about you. You just need to tell me what it is. In this movie, it was his mustache.
Yeah, he was pretty gross in this movie.
Yeah.
And made some real dumb decisions, which reminded me of when he was in Jeepers Creepers.
Yes! Yes! Oh my god.
But yeah, I liked the way the movie was set up as far as storyline goes. Like, it was almost like acts. And for a while, you didn't kind of understand like the timeline of what was happening. Cause like you start with the first two characters, and then all of a sudden, obviously you go back in time because the neighborhood's all clean and,
fancy.
People are still living there, you know?
Yeah.
And you find out what was really going on.
Oh my God. That Jesus fucking Christ. So I will say, I love that type of nonlinear storytelling. And I really think it almost works too well for the horror genre, but like for me, third acts in horror movie are always hit or miss. Either it's just drag out action and you don't really, depending on how good the first two acts are with its character development, you're like, do I really care about these people enough to like, you know, somebody's chasing them with an axe. What do I fucking care? But honestly, I want to say not since, I think it was Ready or Not, that it had such a good third act, and you're just sitting there like, I just wanted this. I mean, let's be clear. I did not go to the theater to watch this. I may or may not have watched this in my room in the dark on my cell phone. And which don't do that. Like, I'm just not because, like, you know, it's more, it's economically wrong and illegal technically, but don't do that with this movie because it makes it 50 million times more terrifying being in a house by yourself watching this movie. The only way it could have been worse is if I actually had a basement in this house. The third act, I was just like, somebody fucking kill her. Somebody get a good shot off. And it was just one of those things where if you really think about it, somebody who is absolutely bug nerds fucking out of their mind crazy chasing you and is dead set on fucking hunting you down is probably one of the most terrifying things, because you can only get so far on foot injured. So let's be clear. Like, I just, I was just floored. And then there was that whole moment where, like, you're not sure if, like, she kind of saved her. But then you're like, fuck Justin Long. Fuck Justin Long. So yeah, it was a ride. Like, that third act, I was sweating.
Like on one hand, I am glad that she survived the night.
Yes.
But on the other hand, I almost wish it would have been maybe more interesting storytelling to kind of end it right after Justin Long shoots her in the basement on accident. Yeah. And have him be the survivor. Although that doesn't necessarily make sense with her being the main character throughout, but I think it kind of would have been interesting if he had accidentally killed her and then just sealed everything up in the basement and sold the house, and then no one ever knew what happened.
I mean, you know what's funny is you can kind of see at one point in the movie where I honestly hope they release like alternate endings for this, because I feel like they could have easily filmed multiple, like at least three alternate endings. And I think I would have loved every single one of them. No matter how bad the ending, because we get the good ending. Which honestly, if I had known that going in, I would have been like, I would not have been sweating and chewing up my fingernails like I was some sort of crack addict. But definitely, even if it had a really sad ending or bad ending, I think I would have enjoyed the ride just as well. So I would love it if they released, like, if they had filmed multiple endings, just to kind of feel it out. And then, like, you get, like, a randomized version of the movie, which gives you an ending. You don't know which one.
Yeah. Although, I was trying to figure out the timeline for how exactly inbred that the mother was.
Oof.
Like, how many generations would that have taken? And was there actually that much time to get that many generations in?
I mean, you get
enough. What was the flashback in the 70s?
No. 80s? No. I want to say early 90s, maybe late 80s, because the movie took place during modern times, right?
Yeah.
So if you...
Oh, yeah. Wikipedia says flashback to the 1980s.
Okay, yeah, that would, yeah. So, yeah, honestly, depending on how many victims and how many, you know, kids get to, you know, childbirth, birth and age, and the individual's genetics, I mean, yeah. It technically wouldn't take long, but... That's so gross. Oh, my God. Like I said, this movie, I just can't, it's one of those ones I want to go back and rewatch, but I need a month of no horror movies, and I'm about to jump into a month of nothing but horror movies. So even not scary ones, like Hocus Pocus 2 is coming up, like Wendell and Wild, like there's a laundry list of really good. We're like Barbarian kicked it off right. So yeah, that was great. But yeah, I don't think it would take, I think it would only take maybe like 20, like maybe. So if that was late 80s, yeah, that was about 40, almost 50 years. That was almost 40 years ago. Oh my God.
Shut up. Stop making us feel old.
If I've got to feel it, you've got to feel it, bitch. If mama don't eat, don't nobody eat.
Ma'am,
you're all going down with me. Get your walkers ready.
Wait, you haven't passed over that threshold yet, have you? Because you're still a couple years younger than Eric and I.
I mean, how old are y'all?
40.
41.
Oh, that's right. Oh, shit, that's right. You turned 41 earlier this year. I'm almost there.
We're like steps. So I turned 39 in a couple weeks.
Okay.
So
you're just shy of 2 years younger than I am. Cause my birthday is exactly a week after yours.
Yeah. So it's like 3, 2, 1. So yeah, I'm the final countdown. And then, well, I was going to say, do we need to change the podcast to Flame On Geriatric Nerds or?
Geriatric millennials and the shit they want to talk.
We'll have to start having a microsodes of like get off my lawn, old the get off my lawn
by me, because that's definitely me.
The get off my lawn microsodes, but yeah. I only 40 years. Yeah, that's enough time for at least a couple of creepy, weird basement babies. So,
yeah.
I think we all just got really sad about our ages.
I think I want to go start a basement family now and just lock myself down there.
Oh, God. So, any final thoughts on Barbarian, or do y'all want to give your flame ratings? What do you, I mean, it sounds like a pretty intriguing film, not really in my normal repertoire of things that I would watch. So I don't know
I would love to see a live reaction of you watching the movie. I would absolutely love all the things I would hear come out of you. Like you sitting in a dark room watching that movie.
Can I have my phone with me as well? That's the only way I watch things nowadays.
Like I said, if you want to terrify yourself to that end, by all means.
Oh no, I mean, I didn't mean watch it on my phone. I mean, can I have my phone so I can also be playing on it as well? My brain can't sit still for that long anymore.
It will be fun to see once this comes out on streaming, and then YouTubers start posting their reactions to it.
Oh my god!
Or watch alongs.
That'll be my next reaction obsession.
You know how I'll see it. I'll end up watching the CinemaSins "Everything Wrong with Barbarian" in X number of minutes video. That's how I'll see the film.
In that case, I will do. Actually, I'll get a 4 out of 5 flames.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Nice. Definitely, it was a good 4 out of 5 flames movie.
Awesome. So that is currently playing in theaters, streaming sometime. Do we know what studio put this out?
Regency Enterprises.
Okay, so it could potentially come to like a 20th Netflix.
Century Studios.
Oh, so it might be a Hulu release.
Because
I know that Disney has been putting a lot of the 20th up on 20th Century up on Hulu. So,
yeah, this would not go on Disney Plus.
Right on the front page of Disney Plus, right next to.
Oh, right next to Hellraiser. The new trailer for the new Hellraiser movie just dropped today. And that is so a teaser dropped like a month ago, and it comes out I think October 7th. So like it comes out in like 2 weeks, and they just dropped a trailer for it, like a full trailer. And yeah, it's a Hulu, and it's produced by Hulu, so it's a Hulu original. So since Disney technically owns most of Hulu now, it's technically in the Disney wheelhouse.
Is it a Hulu Hulu production, or is it like a 20th Century Fox or 20th Century Studios like Prey was?
Well, yeah, because 20th Century Fox, I believe, is the one that owned the rights to all the Hellraiser movies, but it looks like Hulu... it's the Hulu logo before the trailer starts. I didn't see the 20th Century Fox logo anywhere. So yeah, it's a Hulu original.
It's a Hulu
original.
Hulu. Oh God, are you dancing with the stars?
I watched it today.
Did you?
Yeah.
I love that went straight to Disney Plus. Let's see. Oh, yeah, as a Hulu original film. Interesting. Cool.
Still done by Clive Barker, too.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, 4 flames for Barbarian. Catch it if you can in the theater. Or it'll be on streaming, a streaming platform, most likely Hulu, in the not-too-distant future. All right. Let's go over to Benjamin James.
Oh my God, that name. I had somebody in a drive-thru. Like, I was just like, it was Taco Bell, naturally, and it might be Taco Bell again tonight. I was in the drive-thru, and this dude, I'm like, hey, pick up order for BJ, and he goes, come around, and opens the door, and he thinks, like, he's so smart. Like, he's just got that look about him, and he's just like, here you go, Benjamin. And I'm like, thank you. That's not my name.
That's not my name.
And he's like,
my name.
Call me Stacy.
They call me Benjamin. They call me Ho. But yeah, no. Every time I hear that, everybody, like, growing up, like middle school, everybody thought I was, my actual first name was Benjamin, and I had a teacher that actually called me by my full name one time, and everybody was like, who's that? And I stood up and they were like, we didn't even know.
You're like, listen, we do not use my government name over this bitch.
I'm like, if I say it 3 times, I'll go back to the 25th dimension, and I don't want to go back.
You know what's funny is I think that's the last time I was like, I know there was something I called you that I said I was going to keep calling you, and I think that was it, because I think the last time I said that, you told us the Taco Bell story. Because as soon as you started with the Taco Bell story, I was like, this feels oddly reminiscent of what a conversation we've had.
Some random child tried to call me by my government name.
And failed. I know. I'm not, I can't remember your middle name. I know your first name. But then I saw you on LinkedIn. I saw with your... I know your first and your last name are up there. I don't know if you use your middle name on LinkedIn. But I saw you as a potential connection on LinkedIn.
My picture where I'm like... That was like 70 pounds ago. And I was and like...
I was like, I remember when BJ posted these, and he was like, look at my headshots.
And I'm still looking for a job, ladies and gentlemen. Still looking for another fucking job. Let me tell you, trying to get free.
Well, now you can, on LinkedIn, you can put that you are like currently looking, even if you have a current employer.
Yes.
And it does one of those Facebook photo frames.
Yep.
Where it's like hashtag now looking or open to work or something like that.
Actually the last time I logged into it, they were like, do you want to look for a job? And I was like, yes, fucking please get me out of here. It was like, how badly do you want a job? And it was like, looking for right now. And I was like, this feels like a dating profile. I'm like, looking for now. Anyone will do. Must make over $60,000.
Yeah, me and my employer are in an open relationship. Only they don't know it yet.
Raw dogging random potential employers. I'll do an interview anonymous. I'm sitting at the desk blindfolded with the door unlocked. Here's my resume. My resume is open for whoever walks in.
I'm face down on my bed, resume on the table. Come on in.
I mean, if you're gonna fuck me, it's at least $70,000 a year.
Oh my god.
Must get rid of toxic in community. Oh god. Okay, all right. What am I supposed to be talking about?
That's fantastic. So, back to the topics at hand. What are you going to be talking about in this month's episode?
So we got on September 22nd, and it took me a week. School started back. Things are crazy at work. I'm actually going on vacation soon. It's a thing. But I will have these posted up by the time this episode drops. They had not only a Nintendo Direct on September 22nd, but later that afternoon, they also had a PlayStation State of Play. I knew the Nintendo Direct was coming, but the State of Play was like absolutely a surprise. So I'm just going to run down on my favorites. But once I post this, y'all can post up the things that you're excited about. It was actually pretty light on the things that I'm excited for. But like there's Fatal Frame, if anybody remembers that absolute horror game.
Did not realize that thing was still a game. Can I tell you? Okay. I know you've just started, and I'm like, here's the story. Can I tell you, the first when it came out for GameCube was when I was dating my first boyfriend.
Oh, my God.
20 years ago.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's a huge staple. So in Japan, it's like a giant series, and we've been slowly getting ones that haven't been released here, and they'll either remake them or reimagine them, or they'll do like a complete rebuild. So the one there that's coming out here is Fatal Frame Mask of the Lunar Eclipse, complete remake. It's actually coming to the Nintendo Switch. I've played a Fatal Frame game on the Nintendo Switch, and it is nightmare inducing. So I am half excited, half going to go buy adult diapers. a personal favorite of mine that I used to play in the arcade almost 20 years ago, Fist of the North Star. There was a Fist of the North Star punching game in the arcade when I was in college, and it was meant to help you like, work out.
Is that where your fisting obsession came from?
is that where it came from?
Fetishes start early, folks.
and they're hereditary. So just so just hang out with that one, everybody. Oh, happy, oh, happy early, oh, Halloween.
I don't want to know which side. I don't want to know which side.
But no, they have a Fist of the North Star game that's just, I mean, it's meant to be a workout game.
Is that what North Star's husband does to him? Is this an X-Men crossover?
I mean, they better finish up because apparently they're supposed to get a baby soon. So
I mean, well, and with how fast North Star can go, I mean, that's got to be some intensive fisting.
Lube. You got to get that lube so it doesn't get a friction burn. That would be bad.
Bitch, you need to make sure that lube's going to hold for that kind of speed. Anyway.
Then we've got Octopath Traveler 2 for Nintendo Switch.
That was a big one. I saw a lot of people talking about that. I've never heard of the game.
So it first came out on Nintendo DS, and then there's been a lot of spinoffs. It's Square Enix. There's been a lot of spinoffs, but it's definitely a huge love story. All of the Traveler games, they're a huge love story to like traditional, like Final Fantasy RPGs. Really good stuff. And then I don't know if Brian's ever played these, and I keep meaning to throw it at him. Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm. Yeah. Final Bar Line, which is 385 songs.
Yeah, he's played them because I don't know if it was the first one. We were still dating when he had gotten one of them, because I remember him buying it and talking about the game.
Yeah, so that's coming out, and I guess it's pretty much just all the games in one giant collection on Nintendo Switch, which seems cool. And then we've got, I don't know if anybody played Pikmin, but there's a Pikmin 4 coming out. And then that
was another one of those that my first boyfriend and I played. I started the Pikmin series like 20 years ago.
On GameCube. I forgot it started on GameCube.
Yes. We're just going back to 2001 where all of that gaming started for me, and we're just getting, it's like soap operas. It's like 20 years have passed. Like, here's the fourth installment of the game. You would think there'd be more by now. There are not.
And then my two absolute favorites that they announced. They gave a release date for Bayonetta 3 and gameplay trailer. Absolutely love Bayonetta. I can't get enough Bayonetta. I'm beyond excited. And that comes out October 28th. And then we finally got...
Sorry. Those are my happy squeals.
We finally got the announcement of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2, also known as Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. So I'm actually very excited. I finally beat Breath of the Wild. It took me forever because of that stupid stealth area that took me like a year to beat. But I'm very excited. I'm wondering if they're going to do any shenanigans with save file. Like, you might keep an item or two. But we'll see. Because when you have a linear... Like, I don't think... Have we ever had a linear Zelda game where we immediately go into like the next?
We don't even know if we're going into in a linear path here. We know it looks similar, but I don't know if they've talked about whether or not it's a continuation.
The same link.
Or it could be, we could be going back in time to like the 100-year, you know, before the 100-year nap.
Yeah,
we could be getting, you know, pre Breath of the Wild link. You know what it's giving me though? Well, you know what the trailer gave me?
Skyward Sword?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
absolutely. Oh, wouldn't that be a fucking bitch if technically we're just going through original Zelda games in the new format that they have? Fucking weird?
I mean, in the timeline, Skyward Sword is one of the first ever, like the beginning of, almost the beginning of, right? I don't know if it's the actual start, but I know that it's like one of the first in the timeline. because it goes back even before like the original game's story and all of that. Like,
I was going to say, where did Breath of the Wild land? Is that one of the one furthest in the future, or is that one? I thought that one was the first one in the timeline.
Let's see. Check that. I'm pulling this up right now.
Excuse us while we check our Legend of Zelda lore. This is another podcast, y'all.
Well, because you know that, like, I don't want to... the timeline is so weird because it splits off and then there are different paths based off of like when he dies.
If Link wins, Link doesn't win.
Oh, I see what you mean, yeah.
Correct, because like if he does defeat Ganon, then it goes into like this version of the world. Skyward Sword is the, according to this, and this might actually be from the Hyrule Historia, so it's not going to have the most current one, but Skyward Sword is listed as the first, and then it's Minish Cap, Four Swords, Ocarina of Time. And then dependent on whether or not the hero is defeated or the hero is triumphant, then it leads into two timelines. And then if the hero is triumphant, then it splits into two based off of whether the Sacred Realm remains protected or Ganondorf is sealed. Because then there's the resurrection and all that, and then it goes into all of the other games. Where Legend of Zelda and The Adventure of Link are some of the latest, like the furthest down the timeline. And that's only if the hero is defeated in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Huh.
Yeah. I'd be curious. I don't know. I don't know what the most recent one is with the addition of Breath of the Wild. I would like to know where that sits. But yeah, no, I'm super stoked about this. And when I saw him like jumping and I saw the clouds, I was like, oh my God, totally giving me Skyward Sword vibes.
Yeah.
And I really did like Skyward Sword. It was at a very weird time in my life. And I actually got to, like, I just sat down and I played through it. And it was the first Zelda game in a long time that I actually played through and finished and beat. I still haven't finished. I never finished Wind Waker. And I never finished Twilight Princess.
Oh, Wind Waker, they like that still, like once you get into actual like meat of the story and figure out like what's going on with all the characters, it's dark as fuck. Like I got to the end of it and I was like, Jesus Christ, like it pays off. Like it's definitely one of those ones that people were kind of put off by like the cartoon vibe of it. But it's definitely worth picking back up because I'm pretty sure it's been re-released on Switch and everything. But
I don't think so. I know it was re-released, but I think it was a Wii re-release.
They did an HD remaster, but I don't remember which system it was for. If it was for the Wii Shop or Switch.
I don't think, because I think that's one of the games that people are
clamoring for.
Yeah, they're getting angsty and angry about online that Nintendo hasn't announced a Switch port or upgrade, or because I mean they did, like Eric said, they did the HD remaster, because I think I bought it and had, because it came with an amiibo, but I think I had it for the Wii. But that one and the Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask. I know that every time there's a Nintendo event, it keeps getting, like, I keep seeing stuff online about, like, just announce this. And, like, they announced, you know, the sequel to Breath of the Wild, and then everybody's still like, yeah, but what are we going to get this, you know, remastered game? And I'm like, we're getting a brand new game in a fairly quick turnaround from, you know, compared to the last time we got a brand new Zelda game. Could we be happy about that? Apparently not.
No, they're never happy. No, nerds are never happy. But that's all I've got for the Nintendo Direct stuff.
Awesome. Well, and I'm looking at this. I think... Yeah, it was Wii U when they did the HD remaster for for Wind Waker because it was a GameCube game originally. So it was HD remastered for Wii U. So we have not gotten a Switch version of Wind Waker or Twilight Princess, have we? Did we just get Twilight Princess?
We just got Twilight Princess. I think it's Skyward Sword. I think we got Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword. Those were the two. I know there were two remasters they dropped onto the Switch, and I think it's those two.
Yeah. All right. Before BJ gets into the next bit of gaming news that he is going to be chatting about, we want to take a minute and thank you all for listening and enjoying our podcast. We hope that you are, at least. We are online at our website at flameonshow.com. On our site, you can find all of our social media. You can find where you can send us a direct email if you'd like to reach out to us directly. And then from there, you can also find our YouTube channel, our Instagram, all the social media content that you could ask for, along with our Twitch channels, where none of us are streaming at the moment again. BJ has streamed for like 2 weeks and then has had life stuff going on again, so he's not been on there. Eric still hasn't twitched. One day we're gonna get it. Eric, you have the best handle out of all of us, and it makes me so mad that you aren't using it. We got to get you on there one day. Maybe we'll just do a live Flame On stream, just so there will have been some activity on your channel. But all of that is there. We also have our Threadless shop, a link to our Threadless shop. So if you want to pick up your very own Flame On swag, you can do so. And there is a link to our Patreon with the four levels of content that we have available for our patrons. If you want to go to our Patreon directly without linking through our website, you can go to patreon.com/flameonshow. There are four levels you can join to support us. Everything from the sad tier of a clown all the way up to House of X, our house. Come join the house down boots. And we have 8 new episodes of Now Playing are up there. This is the series that I have started to kind of replace a sip of tea with Oral while he is out living his best life up in the sky. I just saw him 2 weeks ago. Yet another stop over here in Chicago, and I got to go have a drink or two or three with him, and it was very lovely. But he misses everybody on the podcast. He just he's in a new city almost every night, and it's delightful for him. But we miss him.
The whore.
And we're gonna have some more Why So Spicy's coming up for you very soon. We were working on getting our nuggies caught up. We're gonna get all of that up. Caught up, and lots of new content for you to listen to. So check that out. Patreon.com/flameonshow. You can join at any one of the four levels. There's different perks for each of the levels. And so it's flameonshow.com and patreon.com/flameonshow.
Today's tale begins the night the internet went down at the Smith family.
Son?
The dad watched on powerless as his son aged before his eyes.
The game has been loading forever.
Save yourself from broadband nightmares. Get BT's Unbreakable Hybrid Broadband backed up by EE, the UK's best network. Search BT Hybrid Broadband. 88% UK availability. 4G connection takes up to 175 seconds. Best for mobile network performance. Verify at ee.co.uk/claims.
Hello there, podcast lover. It is me, Russell Tovey, and
Robert Diamant.
And we are here from Talk Art, and we have something to tell you. Acast have partnered with Law Coffee to create the Secret Podcast Experience, which is a series of intimate live shows designed to immerse listeners into the magic of podcasts.
That means if you're lucky enough to get a spot on the guest list, you could be sharing a delicious Law Coffee with one of your favorite podcasters and a celebrity guest in a beautiful, unique setting.
The exact location and who will be involved will all be revealed over time. But until then, that's our secret. Are you intrigued? Visit secretpodcast.co.uk to get your name on the list. Just in case. We might be doing the Law Secret Podcast Experience.
All right, BJ, take us into the other half of what you were going to be talking about today.
So, not to be outdone, PlayStation dropped a State of the Play on September, believe it was September 19th. Same day as the Nintendo one. September 13th. So they dropped a State of Play. Just a couple of things that I thought were interesting. Tekken 8. I haven't played a Tekken game in forever, but somehow I always get roped into playing them when my friend Violet visits. Which she came through a couple days ago and proceeded to almost trounce me at Street Fighter. So I had a grudge match in Street Fighter 5 with my friend Violet. So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, Tekken 8, they showed some demos stuff for the newly announced PlayStation VR 2, as well as what the hardware looks like. And it looks pretty sleek, less wires, because I had a PSVR 1 for about three games, and then I got bored with it. I mean, it was honestly, that's the thing about the VR games on a console that I like. Is the fact that I get those like specific games, like there's an Arkham Asylum game VR game that was actually really really fun, and an Until Dawn game, the horror series. There was one of those. They dropped some more information on Hogwarts Legacy. I will most likely not be playing it, but you know, there are still Harry Potter fans out there. We all make our choices. And then a really interesting one called Pacific Drive, where you're in some kind of world-ending event and your old, like, Winnebago car is, like, retrofitted with all this monitoring stuff that warns you when an area you're in becomes dangerous. So it's kind of like a road trip of doom sort of feel. And then another thing they announced is that the PlayStation Stars loyalty program, which is similar... the bones of it are similar to the Nintendo one. And FYI, I just started recording my games in that, by the way. I didn't realize it didn't. You have to go into your game options on your Nintendo Switch to select the loyalty program to get your points for games that you have purchased, like hard copies. And I think it's only good for like 6 or 7 months, but you have to double check. I think it depends on the game. But they will be PlayStation's sending out a loyalty program, and part of the loyalty program is like special edition sprites and stuff for your game profile, credits towards free games, credits towards your PlayStation Plus, so you can pay for that with credits or whatever they're going to be called. But that'll be starting a select launch this month, I know, in Japan, and then. I believe before the end of this year in the United States. And then we had the main thing everybody was wanting to know about is God of War Ragnarok got a brand new trailer, limited edition DualSense controller. So all the goods. Daddy Kratos is yelling boy a lot. So
is this also directed by Taika Waititi?
No.
Is Kate Blanchett's in it?
Plot twist, Kate Blanchett is Kratos.
Oh man, I actually would, you honestly, I kind of wish Taika Waititi would just like dip his big toe in the story a little bit, just a little bit. Like, I like God of War. It is a very enthralling story. I like Kratos as a character, especially now that we're getting to see him post like Greek gods era and with a son. So it's compelling stuff story-wise, but I would definitely like a drop of levity, at least for like 5 seconds. His son is like the closest thing to comic relief, and he's still very like, we're gonna die. And I'm like, no, baby Kratos, please stop. It was like I said, it wasn't too meaty. The Nintendo one had like two things that I was really excited for, and this one just had the one. I mean, I'm always excited for a loyalty program because hey, I'm almost 40, so I like to get my free sandwich on my birthday. I like my free cups of coffee once a year. So, and I like my free games, and I've definitely used the loyalty program, the Nintendo one, to get a couple of free DLC, some free DLC and some free games. So, PlayStation's definitely needed something like this, and I'm sure Xbox won't be too far behind. So, but yeah, that was the, that was my, video game news I have.
And one thing I forgot to mention, it was something that caught my attention in a way, because I wasn't, I'm not thrilled, but it's, I know that I can get them on PlayStation, and I now have a PS5. So,
Ooh, you fancy.
Oh, welcome.
Yes. Right. you know what the first thing I did though was, right? I bought the hot pink plates for it. So I have a hot pink PlayStation 5.
I would expect nothing less. If you had literally said any other color, I would have been like, I would be making secret episodes of this podcast to be like, y'all, that's not fucking Pat. I don't know who that is. I don't know what that is, but it looks and sounds like Pat, but it's not Pat. It's not a pink console. I don't know what it is.
Secret plans, revenge on my mind. Yeah, no, I saw they had Nova Pink, and I was like, I need the controller and I need the plates. I hadn't even set up the PlayStation before I pulled the white plates off of it. It was like, let me just go ahead and do this. And I didn't realize how incredibly hot it runs, because I have a cabinet, and I had it in the cabinet.
Oh, yeah, no.
And then, like, half an hour into it being, or no, maybe it was longer than that, because it did the whole PS4 transfer and like all that other shit. And then I was playing, I ended up getting the Horizon Forbidden West bundle, which I had no intentions on playing Horizon at all. And I've been playing it, like, I haven't played for the last 2 weeks or so, like since just before Labor Day. But I started playing it. I put it on easy and was like, let me just see what this game is like. And then, like, about a half an hour into playing, or maybe 20 minutes into playing, it was like, your PlayStation is overheating. Well, I was like, and I opened up the door, and it was just like, so now it sits on top of, I moved my turntable over and was like, okay, well, the PlayStation is going to live on top of this, and we should be okay up here. So I know that I can always go back and get these games on the PlayStation. And I have them. I have one or two for PS4, but Resident Evil, we're getting Switch ports of Village, and I think 7.
Switch ports of Village 2, 3. Village. What is it? Village 2 and 3, I believe.
I thought we were getting like most of the. Well, I know that Code Veronica is not. Wasn't part of the whole thing.
So fucking bitter about that. I want my Code Veronica remake.
That's my favorite. That was my favorite.
That was my absolute favorite Resident Evil game of all time. And I just need a high def version of Alfred Ashford in the makeup as his sister, talking like his sister, but not in the dress. Like, I just need a high def version of that moment in the game. But yeah, no, I'm bitter we didn't get a Code Veronica.
Remaster. That was my first Resident Evil game. That was the first one I ever played on Dreamcast. And can I tell you, do you know how much I love that game? I bought the fucking soundtrack.
Oh, wow. Shit.
I have the soundtrack because the song that that he would sing, there was a friendly but naive king who wed a very nasty queen. Like, that song, it lives with me. Rent-free in my mind. I will forget what I'm talking about mid-sentence. I will forget people's names. But I will remember that song until the day I die. And, like, I got the official one. Like, it was, like, 4 discs. There was music. There was game music. There was sound effects. Like,
oh my God.
On my iPod, I would put it on shuffle, and, like, there would just be steps, like sound effects of the steps from the game. Yeah, I need a remake of Code Veronica so badly. Like,
now the downside is I think they're all cloud versions.
Yes, that was good. That's why I was saying, like, it was great, but I know I can get them for PlayStation because they are cloud based. And That's not ideal. I don't know if it's a hardware like capacity issue and that's why they went this route, or if it was just going to be easier to be able to port over the games quicker because they are from, you know, like the PS4 level. And you know, I'm a Nintendo boy. Like, I like straight up always been, but we know that the Nintendo systems aren't built to be beasts.
Yeah, they're not as beefy as the other ones.
They're built for kids' games. You know, like, they're like, that's a huge chunk of the market. But mm-hmm. it's also built for now for portability. You know, now that we've kind of merged the handheld and the console into one, like, you're not going to get systems that are going to be playing like crazy graphic intense games. So this is probably the way that they could do it and get them over to the Switch, which is fantastic. Like, it's great that we're going to have an option to be able to do that. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, fuck, I really wish it wasn't, you know, just a cloud-based version of the game. But
yeah,
it is nice. It's nice to see that we're getting those ports. And hopefully, like, can we start a campaign? Is there a campaign for a Code Veronica remake? Like, is there a hashtag I should be using on Thirst Traps? Like, I don't post thirst traps. I've been posting food. Maybe now my food could be my thirst traps. I was gonna say
Code Veronica themed food.
Right. Dude, when that fucking like spider fell like in the ice covered room.
Oh my god. Walk
and that shit drops to the ma'am. I knew it was coming. I had the player's guide. I had the fucking player's guide. I knew that shit was coming. That's how old the game is we couldn't look it up on our phone. You know, the internet was there a little bit, but we, you know, you had to buy fucking player's guides. And I had them all. Oh my god. I had the one for Twilight Princess and I still didn't beat the game. I think my game had a glitch though, and I got at a part and there was a glitch that I could not like get the next thing I needed. And then I got frustrated and I stopped playing Twilight Princess. It was not for me. Anyway. Neither here nor there. But lots of great news coming out of the Nintendo Direct. And what is it? The
State of Play for PlayStation.
State of Play. I was like, the shop at PlayStation? No, State of Play. There we go. If those are some of the big things that tickled BJ's fancy, and some highlights for me. Eric, was there anything else that we didn't touch on that you tickled your fancy?
Not really. The only thing that didn't get mentioned was I think they also said that E Honda is confirmed to be in Street Fighter VI. And yes. They released his little trailer.
Edmund Honda is coming back. Good for him.
Yes. Yes. But no, there wasn't a lot that really piqued my interest. Because as far as
Link's butt.
Well, as far as the Zeldas go, and in general, I am mostly a retro game player. So
he plays them on Twitch, everybody. He just doesn't stream it. It's a private channel. Nobody's allowed to watch.
But no, I miss the days of Link to the Past, and really Link Between Worlds was the last one that I really played.
That was a good game.
That was a good game.
Yeah. So while I'm happy that the series is still going, it's not really my bag, baby.
I hear you. Well, for those of you listening, let us know what you are excited about. If it's stuff that we've talked about, drop it in the comments. If there are things that we didn't mention and you want to share, please, by all means, hit us up on social media. Tag us, comment, post, whatever, and let us know what you're excited about from the game announcements that just recently happened. All right. So from horror and video games to horrible video game playing drag queens. Let's do this. So I am going to dive into some of the international variants, a couple of quick things. I will say that I am not going to touch on Philippines. I am a couple of episodes behind. And the last one that I watched I kind of fell asleep during. So I'm a bit behind. So I know the first couple of episodes, the drag was very creative, very interesting to watch. The what was it? The half body or like the decapitated? I don't know. The one like the severed body.
Yeah, the severed body runway.
Like that was pretty fucking cool. I guess I didn't pay attention when they turned around and walked back, where you could see like there was no back of it. You could see that they were just leaning. But there's been some impressive drag on Drag Race Philippines. I heard that the beauty pageant episode was a bit of a disaster, and I'm kind of excited to watch it. friend of the pod, Dan, was like, if you're watching Philippines, do yourself a favor and skip that episode. And I was like, ooh, that makes me want to watch it more now because I want to see what this is all about. So that's about all I'm going to talk about Philippines. Maybe another episode I'll dive a little bit more into it. But we just had two of the international variants end their seasons, and I could not have felt more opposite about these two franchises. Like, I don't think than I could for like any other franchise. We had Down Under season two coming off of probably the worst season of Drag Race ever produced in Down Under season one. If you haven't watched it, don't bother. It is plagued with issues. From why the fuck did we bring back a contestant? Which, you know what? That doesn't even bother me so much. Because honestly, look at seasons, US seasons 2, 3, 4, where out of nowhere, RuPaul will be like, or even 8, where Nayshia Lopez came back. Like RuPaul didn't give any reason, but she was like, I feel like I've sent one of my queens home too early and just randomly brings a bitch back. Episodes later.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need a justification. I don't need a contest for them to make it back in. That wasn't so much my issue. But, you know, when the only two queens of color and Aboriginal queens are sent home and then not brought back, and then you have a contestant who's called out for performing in blackface, and RuPaul basically just, you know, says, hey, you've cried a little bit. You've said you're sorry. All's forgiven.
We're still talking about season one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, when she goes full boomer and goes, people would want me to cancel you. Bitch. What? When anybody who's a quote unquote, you know, left-leaning, progressive, or at least liberal person starts using terms like, canceled you, or oh god, there's a Drag Race YouTuber who I kind of now start like I hate watch some of his videos now, but the moment that he was like, when they're, you know, making decisions on who to crown to appease the SJWs, I'm like, when you start using right-wing rhetoric to like shit talk just being like a good, like a decent person, I'm like, it makes me mad. But season one of Down Under, rife with problems, rife to the point where they literally only had one person they could crown at the end that wouldn't have caused massive fan backlash. And that person was crowned. So there was at least, you know, escaped that. But season two, I went into it not wanting to give it a chance because of how bad season one was. And I was pleasantly surprised. It wasn't amazing. It probably wouldn't rank as like one of my top 7 to 10 seasons of Drag Race. But compared to season one, it was miles fucking ahead. Queens that were pretty likable. You know, I thought they... Part of my issue at the first couple episodes was I thought they were really going to the well to bring the trope of young queen versus old queen with Minnie Cooper and half the cast. Who isn't Minnie fighting with? But
this goes home, though.
Up until the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even at that point, that was, yeah, that was an interesting take on everything, but whatever. It surprised me. The first couple of episodes definitely were not my favorite, but it really built into a season. These queens did not, most of them did not feel like they were overly trying and overly producing themselves. And I think they came across more natural. Spanky was my pick through all of it. Also, because I think Spanky's a cute boy. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. I concur.
A little bit of favoritism from a looks perspective. But I wasn't mad about the final queens. You've seen all the way through to the end? Mm-hmm. No? Okay.
I'm only about halfway.
Oh, okay. So I'm not gonna spoil anything there. I was so mad because I ended up taking a last minute trip and I didn't watch right away. And I got through all day Saturday and then I got to Sunday evening and I opened up Facebook and there was a post and it was like, congratulations to our new queen. I was like, God damn it!
What? You should have done better.
I know. I was doing so good though. It was so good. But anywho, I think it ended on a high note. Like, I think overall it put forth a pretty good season. Contrast that with our Queen of the North and going to Canada. I did not like this season at all. Not as bad as Down Under season one. But if I had heard Fearsalicious say, "You sabotaged me one more fucking time." Okay, so I'm not the only one on the Fearsalicious.
I've seen this entire season, so we can talk about this. But
all right, let's dive in then.
Fearsalicious and Kimmy Couture should not have been in the finale.
Correct.
Because they both lost lip syncs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I don't know how they're still there.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. No, and then they tried to redeem Fearsalicious way too late in the game.
Listen, Fierce had good runways. That doesn't mean that she won that lip sync that she was in.
Mm-mm. No. And they were kind of weak lip syncs. Like, that was the thing on top of it. It's like, there really weren't a ton of, oh my god, these are great lip syncs. All the way through the end. Like, it just did not feel, it didn't feel impactful or powerful. You started to see front runners or like people who felt like front runners going home early. I'm still mad that Halal went home first.
Yeah.
To have Miss Mosu go home second. Like, and I don't think that Halal lost that lip sync at all.
I don't either.
And I still think that Fearsalicious could have been in.
And Kimmy lost her last two lip syncs that she was in,
The one where she was calcium, where she took like plastic bones from a really bad Cubone costume and just had them dangling on her. Yeah, no. Oh, God, no. It just felt so, it felt so overly produced. Like, ridiculously overproduced. And it just, I didn't have a horse in the race until probably around Snatch Game. And at that point I was like, okay, like, please just crown Giselle. Like,
yeah.
And then when it came down to Fearsalicious, Kimmy, Jada, and Giselle in the final four, I was like, they're fucking doing this, like, redemption and rise to the top for Fearsalicious. And I was like, fuck my life. Like, really? And then they didn't put her in the top two. And I was like, okay, this is so weird. And the fact that they dropped two of them.
Yeah.
That was even, like, crazier. I've never seen a season where they're like, okay, we have a top four. Now we have a top two. I mean, season 14, did that, like, here, everybody performs, and then I'm going to pick the top two, and or, you know, and then that's it. But at least everybody performed in the finale. Like, this was like, okay, we do the final runway, we do all this stuff, and I was like, okay, you two don't even get to perform for, you know, the end of it. And it just felt weird.
Yeah, I don't... The... Whatever the judges were looking for was definitely not what I was looking for at all during the entire season.
Some of the things that they would say, I was just like... Like, I liked Bombay's balloon runway.
Yeah.
But did I think that was the most amazing look on the runway that night? No. Like, I don't know. I know that they're there. They see a lot more than we do. And they're not the ones that are in charge of editing the show to put everything and make it look cohesive. But there were points where I was just like, ma'am, what are you talking about? I do not understand this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did like some of the challenges, though. I like that they had to put together a makeup palette and do
that was fun.
An ad for it. Like, that's something that most of these queens are doing now, especially the more beauty-oriented queens. So, like, I could see Fierce Delicious doing a makeup collaboration. I could see Kimmy doing a makeup collaboration. Like, it felt like it made sense. Like, these are things that they're starting to do more things that drag queens do in the real world now, not just perform at, you know, clubs and do gigs. You know, they're doing comedy, they're singing and performing, they're you know, doing makeup stuff, they're doing acting. You're like, these are all things that the queens out in the world that have come from this franchise especially are doing more and more. So to see the challenges reflect that, I like that. I thought that was a cool kind of direction with it. But it feels like Canada is floundering. Like, it just doesn't know what it's trying to do anymore. And considering they're the next host country for a versus the world. Like, I don't know. Like, I love Brooke. But
yeah,
something just feels weird. And I hate, you know what I absolutely hate? Is when she comes out looking fucking stunning. Week after week after week. And then her camera is completely a good 45 to 50 degrees away from the judges' table. So she's facing, let's say we're facing forward, and then the judging table is back to her right. And she has to continually, like, turn to talk to the judges because she's got to stay in line with the camera. Like, Rue's camera in the U.S., like, all the judging tables are off to the side, like, kind of catty-cornered that way.
Yeah.
But they put the camera more dead center so Rue can come out, and then she just has to kind of turn a little bit, and it's natural. Fucking, you watch Canada, just watch, like, the beginning of the runway when Brooke comes out, and watch her fucking turn, almost a half turn, to have to talk to the judges. It's really awkward. And maybe she doesn't need a new face for season four. I'm just going to say, Brooke, put down the phone. Stop calling the plastic surgeon. I mean, it's your body. Do whatever the fuck you want to do. But you are stunning. We don't need a new face again.
I will say that Isis's look on the finale was friggin' amazing.
I wish the wings stayed up.
Yeah, they did.
Or she didn't have the wings. If she didn't have the wings, that dress was stunning.
Yeah.
The wings were great, but they were, instead of, like, they kept on drooping. And I was like, bring your shoulders forward, honey. let's get the wings where they need to be. But no, it was a great look. That was definitely. And I loved how she was like, give it up for the dress.
And I will say what was a little awkward after the fact was when I saw the live crowning videos or the bar videos and how there was one in Toronto and one in wherever in Quebec. I don't know. So The one that came out first that I saw first was the one in Toronto and had all the queens except Giselle there.
Oh.
And then after the crowning, they're all just like hugging each other and whatnot. And like nobody's really happy. And then.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
wow. Awkward.
I was like, Canada keeps on having these. Ever since season two. Season two and season three of Canada's Drag Race got some fucking, got some drama. Go to the Bussy Queen channel for more information. oh my god, we haven't mentioned Race Chaser. We've been talking about Drag Race for how long at this point? Damn. We're slipping. Yeah, it's... I'm not a huge fan of this season. Drag Race Down Under definitely gave me a better feeling overall. But that's going to be in the rearview mirror in a moment because the day after this episode drops and goes live, we start UK season four.
Yeah.
We've had casting announcements for Germany, Brazil, and Mexico. Rita Bega was announced as the host of Belgium. Mm-hmm. And then friend of the pod, Luke, when I was walking Havoc just before we started recording, sent me the post that's from, I guess it's the Drag Race España IG channel, but saying that after season three, they're going to have a Drag Race España All-Stars.
Huh.
And I'm like, that's, in my opinion, and his opinion is that they... The level of talent is so high that he's excited. Like he thinks it feels correct to have an All-Stars this quick. I am of the mindset that we're really overusing the All-Stars franchise, and now we have a Versus the World franchise that on top of, and we're not giving these queens enough time to tour, make money, develop. And do all this stuff and develop their looks even more. And when you do All-Stars this frequently, and I mean, España is a new franchise, but I mean, even the US didn't do an All-Stars until after season four. You start having filler queens in these, and my thing is you should never have an obvious going home first in an All-Stars. You know, you want these queens to develop, you want these queens to have time to have a glow up. And we're still in a pandemic. You know, things are opening. We're pretending like we're not in a pandemic anymore. So they're touring and they're doing this stuff. But there was so much time. And that's part of the reason, like, for UK versus the world, there wasn't time for the season two girls who had no time to tour or make any money or do any of that. So, of course, you had BBC. You had, Blue Baga and Cheryl from season one because they at least had time to tour and make money and kind of develop after they've been on the show. España season one hasn't. And like, I want Poopy Poison back on my television very much. But if you have it so quickly, they're not developed any more than, and you're getting what you saw already on their original season. And that's not what I'm looking for. I want to see a glow up. Jiggly coming back for All Star 6 after being on season four, that was a fucking glow up. If Jiggly was on season four and then was on All Stars 1, Jiggly would have been Jiggly. It wouldn't have been any different. Mm-hmm. You know, Chad Michaels was polished and poised and a consummate professional on season four. There was no elevation of that, but Chad is such a professional that it still is polished going into All Stars 1. And that's the same thing. If you have, like, that's the curse of queens coming off their season right onto All Stars. Where's the time for the elevation? I need you to be able to like show me something more. And then I joked and said, you know, you say that you want, like, you know, you want this All-Stars and that these people were already so high, like highly elevated, but then you'll be the first person to turn around and be like, hey, I saw this already on their original season. And I'm like, it's a double-edged sword. They're super talented queens. I will watch it. I'm excited. I just think that we're overdoing All-Stars. But it makes World of Wonder and RuPaul money, so you know they're not going to stop it. And after
I would like all our All-Star seasons to adopt the all-winners format.
No, boo. Go away. End call.
Listen, you and Bob go into your corner. And
Nope. 1,000,000% agree with Bob. We don't need... If All-Stars was every couple of years and we had the best of the best, I'd be down for that. But when you bring me Serena Chacha, I don't need Serena Chacha on my TV for 12 weeks.
And I wouldn't have been able to handle Silky every single week.
but that's the thing. Like, if you give me the best of the best, I want to see them. I want to see them week after week. But if you're going to give me an All-Star season every year, I don't need to see some of these people on my TV screen, because you know they're not going to win. You know they're not going to be a top contender.
And I want a season of the worst. All the ones that got cut in the first episode, I want an All-Stars of them.
So you're going to be excited for All-Stars 8? Because that's a good chunk of the cast.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, but you know what? I'm not mad about that. Because some of the... We'll go. Do you mind if I give a couple of the rumored that's people? Yeah. So a couple of rumored people for All-Stars 8 are people like James Mansfield, who was first eliminated on season 9. I love James
Mansfield.
Kasha Davis, who was like third out on season 7.
This is Kasha Davis. She lasted halfway through the season.
Was it that far? Yeah. I didn't think it was that. I thought it was like maybe a quarter of the way. But still, she was an early out and not somebody that people talk about a lot. And I love MKD.
I love Mrs. Kasha Davis.
Yeah. Like, so she's rumored to be back for All-Stars 8. Like, there's a couple of these people that have early outs. I think Nayshia Lopez. I mean, Nayshia left early and then came back and lasted a couple episodes, but whatever. But still, like, there are a few of those people who are, and then Jimbo. Why the fuck? Like, we're really trying to make Jimbo happen, and it fucking kills me. Anywho, I'm going to get a lot of hate for that one, but I liked Jimbo, and then I didn't like Jimbo, and then I could not stand Jimbo after UK versus the world. I could say that you are blah, 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 blah. Fuck you. Anyway. at me, yo. But after watching the spoiler videos for All-Stars 8 and Canada versus the world, I am not looking forward to either of those seasons. I am so not looking forward to either of those seasons. And that's all I will say about that. If you want to have a spoiler-tastic conversation with me, feel free to hit me up. Go YouTube the season, All-Stars 8 or Canada versus the world, and spoilers. Watch the video and then come talk to me if you want to dish about it. But yeah, I'm not. And especially considering something similar happens in both seasons, according to these spoiler videos. Oh, it'll be interesting. But those are Drag Race Down Under season 2, Canada season 3. There's so much more coming down the pipeline. I'm excited. So much drag. I don't know if I can keep up with all of it, but I'm trying. Italy is still the only season that I have not finished, and I have no desire to go back to. But I will catch up on Philippines, and I will be excited for when
I never finished France either. I think I only watched 2 episodes of France.
I was sad that the person I was sad about the winner. No. I was hoping for a different queen to take that crown, but Nikki did a good job though. It wasn't a bad season for sure. Although I did not understand why there was a crow like clucking as their, or a rooster or the cockadoodle doing as their alarm every time there was a video message. Did not understand that, but they made a song to it, so. Do what you got to do. But all that, most of the international stuff is all on WildPresents Plus. If you got it, go check it out. And yeah, lots of drag all up on your televisions. All right. It's time for our quick round of one-ups. These are the things that are giving us life. So let's go back around the other way. BJ, what is your one-up?
Hey, so this just dropped on Netflix, I want to say, this past weekend. Bee and Puppy Cat. Bee and Puppy Cat is an independent animated series on YouTube that had like 2 or 3 episodes. It's got a really, I love the art style, but it's just about this girl named Bee who like constantly screws up. She gets fired from her job and she happens upon a puppy cat, which is a puppy or a cat. It's a cat that smells like a puppy. But it talks in this weird, like, vocaloid sort of noise. Some people will find it adorable. Some people will find it very annoying. But puppy cat's kind of a grump, but introduces her to this sort of part-time job where they go to other planets. Sometimes it's simple as cooking something. Sometimes it's taking care of a weird, creepy baby. But it's got all sorts of different stories going. The dialogue is super fucking weird. I'm not even going to lie. The dialogue is beyond weird. But it's kind of amazing. And just getting to know the characters and everything is really fun. But it's definitely a palate cleanser show. You could leave it on in the background. Puppy Cat says some hateful shit sometimes, which is absolutely hilarious. So definitely check it out. Be in Puppy Cat. I think it's had kind of an internet following. So for those of you that have watched it on YouTube a long time ago, it is, I guess they got greenlit for either a season or two up on Netflix. It's adorable. Go check it out.
Nice. So Be in Puppy Cat on Netflix. Eric, what you got as your one up?
So it's the seventh studio album by Panic at the Disco called Viva Las Vengeance. It is an interesting sound. He recorded this album on an 8-track tape machine to capture a retro vibe. But he says it's a look back at who I was at 17 years, who I was 17 years ago, and who I am now with the fondness I didn't have before. It still deals with a lot, maybe darker issues, but it's got a happier sound. It reminds me a lot of the sound of the duet he did with Taylor Swift.
Oh God!
Oh wow!
And that is. But I mean, not necessarily the vocals, just the feel of the song.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of an upbeat feel, even though it's talking about a lot of different.
You just like it because it has a marching band feel.
Yeah. but I like it. It's got some good bops, as the kids say.
Do the song slap?
Slap so hard. but yeah, that's Aviva Las Vengeance from Panic at the Disco.
Panic! Exclamation point! At the Disco. Is it Viva! Exclamation point.
No.
Oh, damn. I feel like they missed out on a great marketing opportunity to include the exclamation point there. Check that out on your favorite streaming service, or go buy the physical media, because I'm still a fan.
Yes, I do. I buy CDs.
Same here, bitch. So I'm going to keep up with the music part of it and give a plug for our patrons. If you haven't, if you didn't check your Patreon messages and you didn't see your posts or get notifications about posts, I mentioned it in the mid episode kind of spiel, but I started doing a Patreon exclusive series to replace the A Sip of Tea with Oral episodes, since he has not been able to do them. And I talk about a song, whether it's new, and I actually did a throwback for a Michelle Branch track that I love, a little bit more of a deep cut. And I just talk about like stories and kind of reasons why and what resonates about the song for me, and give a little snippet at the beginning so you kind of get a feel for what it is in case you haven't heard it before. And I actually want to go ahead and start making a playlist. I want to do a Now Playing playlist by Flame On. So BJ might have to help me with that, because I know Spotify is a more
what more you have a Spotify account now?
I mean, I have one. I it's connected to my Facebook account, but I don't, it's like, it's a free version. So I don't get to like do a lot of good stuff with it. Like I could only randomly play playlists, But anyway, we'll figure it out, and I'm going to get some of those. We have 8 episodes up, and I have another 6 that are going to be coming out very shortly to get us caught up on some episodes of A Sip of Tea. So one of the people that has, I think, 3 episodes of Now Playing, and I was like, I'm going to try my best not to make this all about her. But Fletcher, I've mentioned before, I saw her Lollapalooza after show back in July for the first time, making me feel all of my lesbian breakup energy through her music. She has 3 EPs, Finding Fletcher from like 2016. It feels like a completely different Fletcher. I don't think she was out at that point in time. She wasn't part, you know, she wasn't owning her queerness. And then she has You Ruin New York for Me as her 2nd EP, and then Sex Tapes with the X in parentheses, which came out in 2020. And there are some cutting and bitter and emotional breakup songs and music through all of that. And because they're her breakup albums, her breakup EPs. So she was putting together and finally released her debut album, full-length album, Girl of My Dreams. Released a couple of songs, I think 4 songs. Her Body is Bible, Becky So Hot, Sting, and Better Version. Better Version was the last one before the album dropped. And what she did, this bitch had me. I found out about her in December of last year and became a fan real quick. And it's been angsty and just angry and bitter and jaded. And the first 4 songs that she put out all fit that narrative for the most part. Her Body is Bible is a little bit more celebratory. And Cherry, her duet with Hayley Kiyoko, has that kind of new vibing with a new person feel. But what that bitch did to me, what she did to me, I was like, all right, more angstiness. You get halfway through, that bitch realized that she needed help and got therapy. And then the fucking 2nd half of the album is a whole like enlightened take where she is the girl of her dreams, like she herself, and that she's doing this for her. And it is such an amazing journey. And I love that journey for her. But I was like, bitch, I was not expecting this. Like, you got me. You hooked me. You brought me in with the angst. And then you said, bitch, let's get some therapy. Let's talk this out. Let's figure out the things that you need to work on for yourself and to stop doing this for other people. Because on the 2nd half of the album, you have songs like I Love You, Bitch. And then the album ends with For Carrie. Carrie Fletcher is her full name. And basically at the end of it, it's that she's doing this for herself. Like that, like this whole thing is like she's at the end of the day, she's taking care of herself and she needs to always take care of herself. And I was like, damn, you really got me. You've sucked me in and now I'm on this journey with you and I fucking love it. And it ends on such a little hopeful. It hits that pivot point and the song's just, you feel the anger kind of go away. You feel the bitterness go away. And it's just, oh. And it reminded me of Hayley Kiyoko's Panorama, where it's kind of that same journey. And it just, I love it. It's like it's so good. So Girl of My Dreams, it's out now. Stream it. I ended up buying the alternate cover with like a different CD. And then she was like, the Target version has two extra songs that aren't streaming. And I was like, well, guess I'm going to Target on release day. So not me having 2 physical copies of the CD now on top of streaming it. So, and Urban Outfitters has the hot pink vinyl. And I'm like, do I need Fletcher's underboobs on my wall? Because maybe. So we'll see. But check it out, Fletcher. Go check out her music. I fucking love it. If you're on our Patreon, go check out the Now Playing episodes. I'll work with BJ on, maybe I'll just send BJ a list of songs. Be like,
I can just make a Flame On playlist that I can send out. I can send the link. I put it either in our Discord or I can just send the link to you and you can post it up on the Patreon.
Well, I mean, even just in general, like I mean, this is, you know, I want this to be able to go out to the public. So we'll talk more about that. We'll get a flame on. We'll get a now playing playlist.
Yeah.
Out to all of you. But if you're on Patreon, you can hear the backstory as to why these songs have been chosen for these episodes. So that does it. With that being said, please feel free to go check us out online, flameonshow.com. You can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/flameonshow. linktr.ee/flameonshow gives you the links to everything. The thread of the shop, the Patreon, the website, all of our social media, all of our individual things. You can find us all over the social media. Let us know what you're listening to. Let us know what games you're excited for from the big game announcements from PlayStation and Nintendo. Or just drop us a line and say hi. If you're excited for some Drag Race, we love to hear it all. So please feel free to tag us, send us messages, and now that we're back on track, I got us back on track. It was a week off. Everything's been a little off the last couple of weeks, but we are we're back, and we've got a great new Microsoft coming your way in 2 weeks. So until then, mbabiach.
Bye.
Bye.
EE Full Fiber Broadband can handle all of your gaming needs. 100 patch updates while you boss your multiplayer game. Every neighbor round for a tournament, BYO console. All while your family streams everything and anything around the house, no problem. With EE Full Fiber, you can connect 100 devices in your home. This is broadband that can handle anything.
Next level unlocked.
This is EE Full Fiber, powered by BT.
18.3% UK availability. Check coverage at ee.co.uk.